Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6-packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Life Mastery Radio with Todd Allen and Jackie Bailey, the show that dives into the science of higher consciousness with inspiring topics such as abundance, intention, health, manifestation, love, and transformation. Join Todd, Jackie, and their guests of leading authors, speakers, coaches, and entrepreneurs weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific. Learn to live a peaceful life with intentional mastery. It's all right here with stories and messages to support your well-being and most evocative dreams. Now, here's your hosts, Todd and Jackie.
Hey, it's another groovy day, and there's a couple of reasons for that, and the biggest reason is Life
and
Mastery.
And your life.
It's Life Mastery Radio Day. I get to hang out with the leading authors, speakers, coaches who are on the cutting edge of their own becoming and sharing that with you. It's also groovy because I made it that way when I started my day. I opened my eyes, and it's already a groovy day. So no matter what happens, where I go, what I do, it's all groovy. And it works. It works for me. Try it. You like it. Like Nike, Life Cereal. He liked it. You'll like it too. It's groovy. Right, Jackie?
Absolutely.
As always, I have.
I said, especially Cinnamon Life.
Really? That's my favorite cereal.
Is it?
We have more in common than I thought. As always, I have my co-host with me today, Jackie Bailey of the Speak Feed Lead Project. She's a busy lady. Catch her if you can. Google her. She's got lots cooking. What you've got so much going on, Jackie. What's hot? What's a hot topic?
Today at 5:30 Pacific, I am speaking on the Week of Kindness and Gratitude Summit and Gift Giveaway. You can get my free gift just by registering for the free event and hearing my presentation today. Or you can become a VIP and you can get an even better gift from me, which is an ebook as to how you can live happily even after. And then this Thursday, we are officially launching my newest collaborative book, which is Developed Through Darkness. We had the producer of that book, Orr Quick, on a few weeks ago on the show. And our official book launch is this Thursday. And you can get the Kindle version of the book absolutely free on that day. And then join us for our launch party on Facebook between 3 and 6 Pacific.
So today, Google Jackie Bailey. You'll follow the links. Wait a sec. So what was the title of the ebook? I had a brainstorm.
Happily Even After, Even When Trauma Happens More Than Once Upon a Time.
What hit me was feeling groovy even after. Into my head. I want to remind our listeners that today's show page is at www.lifemasterradio.com. You can go there. We have links to our guests and links to our guest. It's not plural. We only have one guest today. And anything else that we talk about will be posted there while you're on that website. You can sign up for the newsletter. Jackie creates a newsletter every week, and it highlights who's been on the show, who's coming on the show, and a blog post about the show for that week. So it's really cool. It's very informative, and it is all about everything Life Mastery Radio. So check that out. While you're there, you can follow the link for both of our books, my book, 6 Keys to Life Mastery, and we haven't put up Jackie's 5 other books, but the one book is right behind you there. You see it in blue. It's the
back there.
But the rest of her books are all nice and neat. Pretty cool. We got to get those links up, so maybe you could send those to me, and I'll make sure they're on the website. Let's see. We got an exciting show for you today. We're talking about all things transformational, I think. And Jackie invited Sabine on the show. So that means you got the introduction. Take it away.
Yes, thank you. Sabine was on our show after her book was first published, and we were guessing about 2021 timeframe, I think. And then I was delighted to be on a podcast, which she hosted around that same time. And we've reconnected recently. And I said, we got to get you back on the show. Let's hear what you're doing to change the world. So we are happy to have her. And
seems
and,
like your guys' paths have been crisscrossing and crossing and intermingling for a reason. So
absolutely.
People come into our lives for a reason or just a season. And this is a reason, ladies.
For sure. Certainly.
Absolutely.
Because Sabine Gideon serves as a transformational speaker, author, and a coach with nearly 20 years experience. She is highly skilled in getting to the root of issues and creating solutions to support growth and transformation, both personal and professional. Sabine supports women, emerging leaders, and entrepreneurs by helping them become effective change agents and influencers. Sabine is the founder of She Leads Network and host of She Leads Now, which is a top-rated podcast centered around women in leadership and business. And both exist to empower and equip women leaders with the strategy, resources, and self-belief needed to create fulfillment in every aspect of life. She has a Lead Like a Coach 4-week accelerator program, which our readers have access to through our newsletter. So if you are not a subscriber of our newsletter, you are missing out, and you need to do so so that you can check out this link for the Lead Like a Coach 4-week accelerator. So welcome back to the show, Sabine Gideon. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie and Todd, for having me back. Clearly, I didn't say anything that was inappropriate enough that I got to invite back. I'm really excited to be here with you two and with your audience today.
Yeah.
So since we last talked, I don't think we've settled on a time frame yet, but we should have looked that up. My deepest apologies. But what has changed? What has updated? What have you been through? I know for me, it's just like this big blur, but maybe you could highlight it for us.
Yeah, blur is an appropriate categorization of these last few years. So I want to say it may have been later 2020. Blur seems appropriate, but whenever. But definitely 2020 is when I released my book, Transform the Journey to Becoming. And at that time, the book really chronicled my life up until that point, or aspects of my life, in which I had, you know, experienced these moments in the transformation chamber, as I like to call them, where they were traumatic experiences, painful experiences, identity shedding experiences that I had had, and how I moved through them. What was that time?
Wait, we got to dig into that one. Identity shedding.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you have to be careful that you don't say it too fast and get tongue-tied with your words.
That too. Let me pronunciate shedding situations that I've had. And, you know, since then, it's funny because at that point and at that stage when I released the book, there was so much of me that had changed and that had shifted. And not that I ever even thought I had arrived or I had, you know, reached a mountaintop, but I felt so far removed from those negative experiences. And we know that growth doesn't stop, right? Like, it is a continuous decision, conscious and intentional decision, to grow every single day in every moment and every circumstance that we have. And so, but almost 3 years later now, going through the process, I could probably write, you know, version 2 of it. And, you know, I've learned so much more. And that's where the identity shedding piece has come in, because I now realize that, you know, transformation is it's glorious when it's done, right? It's glorious when we get to come on shows and talk about it. But in that messy middle, Right. That messy middle is painful. And it can create trauma all over again. So the long short of it, right, I've gone from that stage of emerging to now experiencing life as the butterfly, so to speak, because that's the metaphor that I use in the book, to now having gone through another process of transformation and emergence that I'm excited to talk about today.
Well, yeah, and you know, the title of your book was Transform the Journey to Becoming. And it's interesting, the word becoming is such a powerful word because it says a lot in just one word. In fact, I was just reading in the book of John this past weekend and was describing that we have the power to become. And I was like, that is such a cool word, because that is part of what we're doing every day. We should be working on becoming something, transforming something. And then it's a daily process, right? So I think that the title of your book was so powerful, Transform the Journey to Becoming. And your journey continues. As you say, you continue to transform. So tell us, maybe for our listeners who didn't meet you the first time you were on the show, can you fill us in on whatever details you want to that you think might set the stage as a way to compare where you were before you started your first becoming journey, and where are you now as that journey continues?
Yeah, happy to. And just want to make note on something that you said with the word becoming. I originally wanted to title the book Becoming Sabine Gideon, right? Becoming myself, coming into the knowledge. But Miss Michelle Obama beat me to it with her book.
I thought I recognized that somewhere.
Yes. And so I was just like, yeah, I'm not competing with her. I mean, her journey in itself is its own beautiful thing. So I like that I got, you know, the wisdom, if you will, to add in the transformed, the journey to becoming, because it really, truly is a journey. So for those of you who are completely new to me, my background is one of a lot of trauma, like many other people, coming from I was born in Haiti. I came into the U.S. when I was just shy of four. My earlier experiences really shaped me to see the world in a way that wasn't this beautiful, you know, powerful thing, right? You know, from being born in extreme poverty to coming here, you know, having parents who were immigrants, who were very well-meaning, who worked hard. There are just some experiences that came along with that, you know, most people don't want to have to experience. But in retrospect, I realized that was part of my journey. That was built into the story that made me me. And so with those childhood experiences came all types of abuse, right? So sexual, emotional, physical, verbal, you name it. And so the young Sabine, who, you know, who now I look back with so much compassion towards her and so much empathy, you know, her invitation to the world was that it included pain, right? That love was pain. It included, or it told her, the messages told her that she wasn't worthy, that she wasn't lovable, that she wasn't enough. And so I carried those messages into greater part of my life up until I was about 25. And, you know, sometimes we get these messages and this negative critic, right? And when we don't know, right? When we haven't been doing the work, we don't know. We think these things are true. And so I got to a place when I was 25 where every single day that I woke up, I was being bombarded with negative thoughts and negative criticisms. I can say it now, but to really describe what that was like, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And luckily, I don't have any enemies, right? But it was daily, constant reminder, minute by minute, of, you know, how unworthy I was and how worthless my life was and all of the mistakes that I had made and all of the decisions that led to bad outcomes. And it got to a place where I just couldn't take it anymore. After months of this, and no one was saying it to me. That's the crazy part.
Yes.
And I was turning against myself because there were years at that point, decades, of messages and of pain that I had just stuffed inside and kept moving. And so even in that moment where it was my darkest moment, you know, the people around me had no idea why, because I was showing up, I had the smile on my face, I was doing all those things. But in my mind, it was like World War III, literally. And so it got to a point where, you know, I decided this can't be life. And if this is life, then I don't want to be part of it. And devised an entire plan because, you know, I'm a little strategic and a bit of a planner. So that didn't go away, and devised an entire plan of my last day, my exit in this world. Did all of the things, right? So I cleaned my apartment. I had my paperwork ready. Like I was done. I was done. This was my way out. And this was the only resolve at that point that I could see. Then I had a conversation with God. And at that point, I wasn't really 100% sure that I believed in God. I had gone through Catholic school and all that other stuff and, you know, had this imagination, right, of like this judgmental person who, you know, everything that we do bad, like is constantly judging. And I decided to have a conversation, and it was really more of a shouting match than it was a conversation, if I'm being honest. But it was 25 years of pain, 25 years of disappointment, 25 years of feeling unlovable, of feeling unseen, of feeling unheard, all pouring out of me in that moment. And quite honestly, I didn't know what to expect. There was no plan. It was just more of, I'm going to let God know what I'm about to do. And after my berating for quite a while, I just stopped and I paused. And I remember saying, you know what, I could continue to endure this. I could continue to move forward in this thing called life if I knew two things were true. That he was real and that my life had a purpose. And in that moment, as inexplicable as it is, I felt the arms of God wrap himself around me. And without words, without, you know, any like real spiritual understanding, I knew in that moment that God had answered me. And so I, you know, fetal position, cried my way that night, woke up the next morning determined to not just live, but to uncover my purpose, and to uncover the thing that he saw in me that said, you know what, she needs to be in the earth. And so it was really my second chance at life, to build life on my own terms, not knowing what that meant, still not knowing what that means, but building life in a way and in a capacity that was not attached to the identity of abuse, not attached to the identity of fear, not attached to the identity of worry. I don't know why I can't get these words out. It was literally a complete, I won't even say it was a start over, but it was a starting of anew at that point. And it's been 15 years now since I've been on that journey of discovery, multiple laps in some years, right? The multiple lessons that I had to learn, but it's been an amazing journey because who I am today, I have that answer that I so desperately needed, that was the catalyst to me becoming who I am. I can confidently say today, I know that he is real. I know what the purpose is for my life. And I know that those experiences were just that. They were experiences. They weren't definitions of who I am and the greatness that is within me. I'll pause there.
Wow.
Well, it's interesting because that's a great description of a divine intervention. But what I'm really curious about was your mindset. Were you open to a discussion, or were you in just such a state of desperation that it opened your heart to be able to accept that discussion?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. It was definitely a cry of desperation that led me. It was just like,
it just blows me away that we have to get to that point in order to receive that guidance or to get that inspiration. But you're not the only person that I've heard this exact thing being described. And it almost seems like you know, you had to go through what you had to go through so that your voice could be heard by others who are going through the same thing.
Yeah, that is definitely my prayer. And, you know, what I've also noticed is that there's a lot that we go through and that we experience, even in our adult lives, and even when we've healed from traumatic experiences, right? Are the people around us who surround us are essentially, you know, projections of us, right? Or reflections, I should say, that's probably a better word, reflections of us. And it's not uncommon for us to walk around blinded by truth or possibility, because when we look in our environment, we look at the people who are closest to us, if that seems normal for them, we're going to believe, oh, this is normal. Like, this is how people feel. This is what people experience. It's not until you get to that point of desperation, or until you get to that point of saying, wait a minute, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a different way, that you have that moment of thought, that we can begin to shift to something differently.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Todd.
I was just going to say, we look to others to amplify the negative thoughts that are going on in our head so that it gets validated. And mm-hmm. and we bump up against the wall. It's interesting. We bump up against the wall when that validation doesn't come, right? And people say, you need to get some faith, or you need to get some hope and get out of that mindset, because anybody, it's just not true, right? They don't see the truth in what it is you're trying to rationalize. And that creates even a bigger bump, because then you're like, oh, that person's just totally out of my life now.
So Sabine, how has your book been accepted by family members who perhaps didn't realize you were going to write some things that might have included this life that maybe they weren't aware of, or didn't think that their part in it would ever be put out there? How did your family accept it? And how have you heard from readers who've read your book that in some way that you've impacted their stories?
Yeah, great question. So on the family side, when I was on here last time, my understanding or belief at the time was that no one in my family had read it. And up until last summer, actually, that was true. Mm-hmm. Until my sister came to visit me for a week in the summer. And while she was here, because, you know, I got it stacked back there. She grabbed a copy and started reading it. And, you know, as she was reading it, of course, there are things that she wasn't aware and that she didn't know. And we had this moment where she was just like, I can't believe that I was so blinded, right? Because a lot of the stuff happened in the household, right, that she completely wasn't aware of. And so for me, in that moment of having a conversation with someone in the family, and actually she's the first person that I told about some of these things, but for the very first time, I felt seen, I felt heard, I felt acknowledged, that my pain was real and that it wasn't just being shooed away. One of the things, and I didn't detail this in the book, but one of the things around my process was, you know, when I would face abuse, whether that was verbal abuse, physical abuse, or whatever, specifically by my mother, my family would always step in and they would always tell me, you know, like, oh, that's your mother. That's just how she is. You know, she loves you. Right. And so there were multiple instances in which I was stifled, right, in even just feeling hurt, where I was immediately told, oh, you can't be mad because that's your mother, or, you know, don't be mad. That's your mother. And I associated in those vulnerable moments love with abuse, and hadn't realized that until it kept playing out. And so for me, not being heard, it was so deeply rooted that it wasn't until she read the book, or she read parts of the book, that I finally felt like, oh my gosh, now I can speak. Now I'm allowed to have feelings, and I'm allowed to communicate my feelings. So as far as family member, that she's the only person that I know who have read it. Maybe others have, and they don't feel the need to say anything, yeah, which is completely fine, right? This is their journey. This is their process. As far as other readers, it's been amazing, because I've had people from all walks of life who have experienced not necessarily the same thing, but different aspects, whether that was their relationship with their mother or, you know, something that happened in their childhood that they were able to relate to. And while there was a lot of fear around releasing this book initially, you know, because I was just like, oh my gosh, like, no one knows any of this stuff, right? I'd been holding it in for 30 years. Not only that, I had become a master at projecting this life of like driven, ambitious, and all these things, right? And here I was exposing the truth of my heart. And so there was a lot of feelings of guilt and shame around what people would think, how it would be received. Would they think I was lying? That was the biggest thing for me. Would they think I was lying because my life didn't reflect that? But what I received instead was compassion, was grace, was empathy, were people telling me, oh my gosh, like you sharing your story. And even the ones where people were triggered, you sharing your story triggered something in me that then allowed me to deal with what it was that I hadn't wanted to deal with. So it's been a humbling experience on so many different levels. Obviously healing all over, over for me. But certainly I'm grateful for those who have read it and for those who have been able to see the journey, not from a place of necessarily victimhood or not from a place of woe is me, but from a place of, these are the experiences that formed who I am. And this is, you know, these are how these experiences have changed and transformed me into this person that looks at life differently, that looks at life from a place of hope, from a place of courage, from a place of bravery, and from a place of strength.
Well, there had to be a certain amount of, I guess, there had to be a certain amount of reflection on your part, right? What led you? Was it the book and writing the book that led you to that reflection and that healing? Or was it some other revelation that you went through that brought this to light?
Yeah. So all of the above, I guess, is the short answer to that. All of the above, as I mentioned. So this, my rock bottom moment took place in 2007, right? So from 2007 up until 2019, when I actually wrote the book, you know, I had been, oh wow, that's 12 years, had been on this 12-year journey of, you know, seeking truth, right? Seeking a relationship with God, because that was my lifeline. Like I literally depended so much on that night. I can never let go of that night, because we have moments, right? Especially as entrepreneurs, right? There are sad moments. If you go through life,
anybody, right, in life, exactly. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that occur that bring us to a cage rattling.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that has been my anchor, right? Knowing that I'm walking towards the pathway of building a relationship with God, and that I'm walking towards the pathway of, you know, finding out or discovering my purpose, that has been my anchor and the thing that, you know, allows me to move through. So 12 years in, when I got the inspiration to write this book, I had actually started writing another book, and it was around, you know, leaving corporate America and starting as an entrepreneur, like all of the things that I didn't know. And as I started writing the book, had it outlined and everything, Holy Spirit was just like, you need to write the other book. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have another book.
And it was book, just like, book, what book?
Right. And it was just like, you need to write your story. And I went on, and what I didn't share before is I went on a 7-day fast, which I do quarterly. And during that fast is really when I wrote the book. I poured out into the book over a 10-day period. So I think the desire and the yearning inside of me that has never died, in terms of, you know, finding my purpose and not even just purpose anymore. I think at that point it was finding purpose. And since then it's transitioned or expanded to understanding or discovering my true identity. That process and that intentionality is what has created the space for me to continue to grow, continue to develop, and, you know, hopefully get to a place of life mastery.
Right. And Sabine, I wonder if you're like me in the sense that, you know, you have these experiences, and when you start to write them down, or when you start to verbally talk about them, which in itself can be challenging, because when it happens to you as a child, sometimes you don't feel like you have the right words to know how to describe it. But it isn't until people actually do believe you that you actually start realizing it did happen. Because there's, if you're like me, there's this voice inside your head that's always like, this didn't really happen. You're lying. This isn't true. You're going to get in trouble for lying, and you're going to get other people in trouble because you're accusing them of things that didn't happen, you know. And but when people start actually believing you and finding help for themselves in your story, then if you're like me, then there's this consistent, it did happen. This is true. And by sharing this, I mean, as odd as that sounds, we're so trained to doubt ourselves that continues through that journey. Did you find that to be the case with you?
Not in the moment as I was writing, believe it or not. And I think that was part of it because I was fasting, right? So when I fast, it's like no food, right? And people always wonder, well, what is the connection between, you know, not eating and like spiritual whatever? But I have found that it is the moment or the week in which I am my most powerful, meaning that I have clarity at a level that I don't usually have, where I whatever I'm feeling in my body, I can feel it. Whatever it is that I'm thinking, like everything is amplified to the point where I feel like I am just so much closer to God. I would even dare say one with God during those weeks, right? So as I was writing it, literally what would happen is I would write a chapter, bawl my eyes out, right? Because I was reliving it all over again to the point of depletion, have to take a break, then start again the next day. In a couple of days, I had to take a break in between that because it was so much. So even as I was writing it, the emotions were coming up and I had to face it and I had to pause and I had to accept it. Where the doubt started coming in was when family didn't respond specifically, when it was put out there and I didn't have any confirmation that family members had either read it or discussed it or anything like that. So that's what's triggered those thoughts of, wait a minute, like, what did I do versus in that moment when I was writing it?
Yeah.
It's my understanding too. You wrote this book in 10 days.
Yeah.
10 days during this fast, and then you probably completed it, but it all just flowed through you. And I'm sure it went through a lot of editing, maybe not.
It did. It did. Because the pouring was all of, you know, if we're journaling or whatever, right? We're writing whatever we're thinking in the moment. I wanted to be very intentional to not make this book about anybody else, and even to not make it about me being victimized. I wanted to tell the story. These were the facts. These were the things that happened. And these are the ways that I was able to overcome them, or these are the things that I learned from it. So the editing came with me making sure that the intention for the words that's what people experienced and people felt and could see themselves in it. And I wasn't the blockage, if you will, or the people who harmed me weren't the blockage, but that people could read this and see themselves in it, or the parts of themselves in it, and allow whatever piece came after that to be their support.
Wow. And so now, I mean, you started a podcast. Was the podcast going on before the book, or did the podcast come as a result of the book?
There was a podcast that came a result of the book. So that was the Journey to Becoming podcast, the one that you were on, where I got to share the stories of other women and their mountains and their journeys. I made a pivot to She Leads Now in 2022 when I launched that. Remember Blur? Really, because I wanted to align the power of what I've learned personally through self-development and mindset work and, you know, learning to love myself again, or for the very first time. I wanted to combine that with what I was doing professionally on the leadership development and, you know, talent strategy. Because for a very long time, even for myself, I compartmentalized, right? Like there was the spiritual me, right? And I've been doing this apparently my entire life. And then the professional me. And I kept those two separate. But the more I've been doing this work and releasing this book and having more conversations with people, and women in particularly, I realized there's more that like unites us than separates us. And so for me, being successful in your career means nothing if, you know, the other 20, however many hours you are spent telling yourself how much of a crappy person you are. And oftentimes the women that I saw who had the ability, who had the potential, who had the desire to do something greater, they couldn't because they would continuously self-sabotage themselves, or there was a lot of self-doubt and, you know, disbelief in who they were and what they were capable of. So She Leads Now actually combines all of me. I'm one person now. takes every aspect, and I speak to what's happening professionally on the external, but what's really happening inside in your mind and in your heart, because that's really what's driving the experiences that we have, whether that's, you know, professional, in our personal relationships with our children and whatnot.
Well, that was my point earlier with the desperation. And I think that's your core message, is you don't have to get to that point of that desperation.
You don't.
Use my experience. And so I'm really curious about that. What are some of the tools that you teach? Because we all have life things, right? And these life things happen and they come into our world and they create this monkey mind, and it just gets going on problems. You know, 99% of my problems are created in my mind, and I can't even put them in a paper bag to throw them away. So what are some of the tools that, you know, when these life things happen, that you teach people to use?
Yeah, so it really varies on where that person is and where their openness is to, you know, receive new information. So I think that
you don't have to tread a fine line on that when you're working with people, where that's very interesting that you have to kind of determine where they're at in their own understanding and then help them through that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. What I learned is, and this is the power of coaching that even when I became a coach, I didn't really understand, is that there is such power in asking people questions and giving them space for their own self-discovery. We learned so much. And as a talker, I am a talker full out, right? Learning the skill of listening has been it's been a game changer for me, because you will always be able to hear what's on people's hearts in what they're saying, yeah, right? Simply sometimes asking questions and listening will reveal so much to you than, you know, simply observing someone. So, you know, a few years ago, if you would have asked me that question, I would have talked to you about, you know, reframing, right? Like if I'm having a moment, like I'll reframe, or if I'm, you know, feeling some type of emotion, I'll name the emotion. I'll try to find the name to the emotion and separate. And, you know, all of those tools are definitely necessary. But now I've gotten to this place where, you know, I'd like to think like my tools are a little advanced.
Intuition, right? Your own intuition.
My own intuition, for sure. It's funny. I'm reading a book by a Yanla Van Zandt called Trust, where, you know, at this stage in my life and in this stage in my journey, I'm recognizing there are still aspects of my life in which I don't trust, whether it be myself, whether it be God, whether it be other people. But the main thing that, or two really, really big tools that have been helpful for me and clients in the last couple of years. So I just recently in the last 6 months was made aware of the Cartman Triangle. And we were talking a little bit about this in the green room. And so for those of you who are not familiar, feel free to just Google it and you'll learn more. And I'm going to share a way of how you can recognize this. I remember my coach, when he first introduced it, he said, once you see it, you can never unsee it, right? And no powerful words have ever been spoken, right? So I'm just like, okay, cool. So basically the Cartman triangle is around the victim orientation. And so there's a victim, there's a rescuer, and there's a persecutor, right? It sounds very basic, we can see it. If you think about all of the messages that we've had as children, right? Think about fairy tales. And Jackie, you set the tone for this when you said happily even after, right? But think about the fairy tales that we get told, happily ever after, right? There's a damsel in distress and some prince comes to rescue her. And of course there's this villain, right? And it stops at the, oh, well, you know, they live happily ever after, after the savior. But think about that message that gets replayed in every fairy tale we are taught as kids, right? That essentially there is a victim. It's always the female, right? For the most part.
Yeah.
And then a persecutor and a rescuer. And then you think about our life situations. One of the biggest things for me, it made me realize that in my home, I was the victim, right? And, you know, other people play that role. What I didn't recognize was I had carried through my life that same orientation. I wasn't in that home anymore, right? And I had other situations, but victim always used to be the thing that like I went back to because that was my first initial, I guess, role or understanding of what my role was. And so it's funny because when I first started reading the book that I reference is the Power of TED. It's The Empowerment Dynamic by David Emerald. And so as I'm reading through these descriptions, I'm like, oh, I'm the rescuer, right? Because I'm the one who always wants to help people. I'm the one who always wants to do things for people. And then the more I started to self-reflect, that's when I realized that actually, no, the rescuer goes in as the rescuer. And then when she doesn't feel appreciated or she doesn't feel seen, she doesn't feel recognized, she immediately goes to the victim. And so just being able to see that dynamic and see how much that plays in everything. Like if you can think back to bosses that you've had, right? Some of us, if we had parents that were really strict, we go into workplaces looking for authority figures, right? And so it's fascinating. Like I said, like he said, my coach, once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And not only is it important for you to see it, but you have to take that responsibility and that personal accountability of identifying where you are and identifying the decisions, not from a place of judgment, not from a place of, you know, I can't believe I did that, but from a place of understanding, right? I personally, if you've asked me, and I think we talked about this last time, don't call me a victim. Like that's probably like a curse word. That was like a curse word to me, right? I refuse to be attached to that word. But in this process, I learned actually that is the role that I was the most accustomed to playing, and it played out the most in relationships. So I'm sharing that as like a tool, right? When you can recognize that for yourself and start recognizing it in every situation that you're in. One of the other things that I wanted to share as far as a tool is as we start to do this work, to learn more about our programming, not just our superficial beliefs, but really our programming, the things that shaped us, those very few first moments of life, like what triggers fear in you, right? We all experience fear and we all want to get rid of fear, but we shouldn't want to get rid of it. It should be something that we lean into. Why am I afraid?
Yeah.
Because the more we stuff it down or we ignore it, it just keeps coming back up in a different phase. If you're a procrastinator, what are you really procrastinating about? I used to think that I procrastinated because I was overwhelmed, right? But in actuality, I used to think that procrastination came because I was overwhelmed, but really fear is what drove my procrastination, right? So it was started with fear, then went to overwhelm, then procrastination. And so there are just a lot of messages that we have internalized and a lot of things that we do that we think is normal, that we think is natural, and that we think is out of our control. And the reality is it's not. We create every single moment, every single opportunity, we are creating our lives. And if we can get to the place where we can accept that truth, and accept that reality, that even the good and the bad things that we've experienced were part of our own creation, then we can start to look at it, well, what do I want to create instead?
Yeah.
And it's not an overnight thing. It takes time, it takes effort, but it is possible.
So within that triangle then, where you're either the victim, the savior, or the villain, are we all trying to be the savior? Is that where we ultimately want to be? Or do we see the value in each one of those things through a cycle or phasing of life? I mean, is there value in each one of those? And is there also detriment in each one of those?
Both. So we don't ever just stay one thing, right? Because there have been situations where I was the persecutor, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're in victim mode, it's everything they are doing it. It's the recession, it's the economy, it's the cost of eggs, it's the president, it's mm-hmm. data, like, you know, everything is this outward projection of these things are happening to me, right? Even when you're the rescuer, it's they don't appreciate me, or my efforts aren't this, or my efforts aren't that. And we cycle through them depending on what the situation is. It's almost like that whole codependency model where you look at narcissist and the people pleaser, right? Like mm-hmm. the two extremes, someone is always playing one of those roles in a relationship, right? The goal is to bring together healthy people that can meet in the middle and balance. But someone is always, if someone leans way too much on the narcissistic side, someone's going to be the over and above, right? Because they have to feed that and they're going to draw that person to them. So the beautiful part is, while many of us do walk around in the victim orientation knowingly or unknowingly, there's this other triangle, right? That counterbalances it, where instead of being the victim, you now become the creator. So life is no longer happening to you. Circumstances aren't happening to you, but that you get to step into the place of, how do I choose to respond to this versus, you know, reacting from it or coiling from it.
Yeah.
Same thing for the challenge, or for the persecutor and the rescuer. You can take on the position of the challenger, or you can take on the position of the coach. The shift in mindset is that, again, life is not happening to us, but that we are creating it in every moment. And when you can step into that mindset, which, again, I will be the first to say, easier said than done, but it takes intentionality. When you can step into that, you can have a bad day. I'll give you a perfect example, and I'll stop here. Last week, I was launching a new program, the Lead Like a Coach, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I was launching the Lead Like a Coach. The day before, my website crashed. It didn't crash. Somebody got in. And so I had an intrusion, right? So I had to pay extra money, wait for them to get that fixed. I had a virtual assistant helping me with all of the digital assets. Like, she submitted everything last minute, and there were a whole bunch of changes that needed to be made. So here I am Monday morning, like, really, really excited about this launch. And everything that could go wrong with it went wrong.
The sky is falling.
Yes. And in a past version of myself, I would have been like, oh my gosh, you know what? I shouldn't have done this. This is a sign, da 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 da. But this time was kind of like, okay, Sabine, you created this. Why did you create this? Actually, my first, if I'm being honest, my first thought was, I didn't create this.
Of course not. How could you be responsible?
There's no way I created this. And then I took the time to say, okay, Sabine, you created it. What about this? Was it like, what did you need to learn through this process in creating it? And I truly believe that I just needed to be able to be at that place of awareness and understanding in what seemed like a chaotic situation, to be able to just center and be like, you created this. You can create something else and just move forward. And what might've taken me days to get over, literally less than an hour.
Wow. That's amazing. So with your She Leads network, then, you are providing programs. Are you coaching one-on-one? How are you most interacting with people to help them? With three words that you used before the show, which I loved, is to reimagine, redefine, and rehumanize. You want to explain what those mean and how you work with your clients?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for that, for the opportunity here. So She Leads Network is a broader network that I've created to bring together women leaders, right? And by my definition of leadership, it's not attached to a role. It's not attached to any specific level, right? We are all leaders. It is our inherent capacity. And so for women in particular, this is not necessarily always the truth that we hold on to, because we believe like, oh, everyone does what we do, or this is nothing, right? And then in fact, whether it's the household, whether it's in the community, whatever it is that we're doing, we are leading in some capacity. And so She Leads Network brings together women who want to leverage their leadership in their workplace, in their businesses, in their homes, to be more effective and to expand their influence and their impact. And so within that, there are three levels. One is an academy, which is basically a self-service course type space. And then the other one is the community, where we come together collaboratively. So you have the opportunity to connect with like-minded women who are looking to advance as well, with some group coaching. And then the collective is where there's more one-on-one. And so depending on where you are, right, because I firmly believe that not everybody's in the same space. And going back to Todd's question, I gauge how much I introduce to people based on where they are. You know, you can start to build up your muscles. You can start to build up your own empowerment muscles, your leadership skills, your ability to influence, and your ability to really drive the change that you want to see.
Wow. Describe that feeling for us, Sabine, that feeling of when you're working with somebody and they get it. How does that make you feel?
Oh, my goodness. Joy is the word that comes to mind. It is an absolute joy. You know, especially for someone who spent so much of their life like bound, so to speak, right, in the place of darkness, to see someone like come into their own light or their own awareness of their greatness, like that just brings so much joy.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So, you know, we only have about 4 minutes left. And I was, while you were describing things, I was thinking, you know, in today's society, and because of going through COVID, we have created a bunch of victims, right? Do you get that feeling too? I mean, and they're it's like they're mulling in it. What is the solution? What is the cure for society today?
Yeah, well... that's a big question, Todd. But one thing that I will say is, you know, this is not to create division by any means, but you see, based on what's happened in society, for the people who took the time during the last couple of years to really reassess their life, really reassess their priorities, what's important to them, what are their dreams, you've noticed that they've made big shifts in their lives, right? So these were like high, like I'm climbing up the corporate ladder and I'm going to do this, all of a sudden to, you know what, I love scrapbooking. So I'm going to start a scrapbooking business on Etsy, right? And so you're seeing, based on the people who did the work to really assess, that they have made major shifts in their lives. What we're also seeing is for the people who had the mindset of, I just want this to get over with, right? I just want us to go back to normal. I just want things to be the way that they are. Unfortunately, they have remained stuck, and they're the ones who are struggling now because we're experiencing a new normal that they are not equipped to experience. You look at organizations that are looking to invest all of this money in mental health and all this money in development and all this money and whatnot. I think that's good, right? That'll be helpful. But until leaders or individuals start to really say, you know what? I got some work to do. Until you're vulnerable enough with yourself and even courageous enough to look at the ugly and the dark in you, then you're stuck. And we have, unfortunately, leaders at all sectors of our society who are stuck. And it's not just that they're just stuck in 2019. They were stuck before the pandemic. Yeah. Now they're really stuck in this time zone. And unfortunately, you know, we were just talking about AI a few minutes ago, right? With other things that have happened that have come up, like I fear for these people, literally fear for these people 5 years from now, if they're still looking for normal and comfortable, right, and safe and familiar.
Oh my goodness, Sabine, this hour just flew by. I think we just have a couple of minutes left. How do we find you? Where do we go?
Yes. So you could always find me on my website, SabineGideon.com. And it's not www, it's https://. just Sabine Gideon and you'll find me. And if you want to learn more about She Leads or the Lead Like a Coach training that I have going on, you can go to SheLeadsNetwork.com. You'll also be able to listen to the podcast there as well. And I will definitely, no offense, Todd, but I'll definitely be having Jackie back on to that podcast as well.
Cool.
Hey, that's exciting. Yeah. Well, thank you for all you do, Sabine. You're amazing. I'm so glad you made the decision to stick around because yes. you have inspired thousands of people and will continue to do so, and me included. So thank you.
And I hope you'll come back because it seems like we just got this conversation started and we probably have another couple of hours. I'm so curious. And thank you so much for being you, Sabine, and doing the work that you're doing, because that's how we make a difference, right? I mean, every little bit counts.
Thank you. Thank you both for creating this platform for people to heal, for people to develop, and for people to grow. It means a lot. And I know you know that, but I just want to share that. It means a lot.
That's about all we have time for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope that you'll check out our YouTube channel, check out our newsletter. Jackie does a great job every week, and it really, really, really highlights everything Life Mastery. Lastly, please, please, please make it a great day. Because it's all about choice. Choose to be you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to Life Mastery Radio. Join Todd Allen and Jackie Bailey and their guests of leading authors, speakers, coaches, and entrepreneurs weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific. Learn to live a peaceful life with intentional mastery through stories and messages to support your well-being and most evocative dreams. Visit their website, www.lifemasteryradio.com. Join their mailing list and be notified about upcoming guests. That's lifemasteryradio.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.